And now for something completely different.
It's a Rich Fast World. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story. Real talk about money, markets, life. Now, it's The Real Investment Show, presented by RIA Advisors.
Welcome to The Real Investment Show. This is Sebastian Gorka.
No, it's not. It's Rich Rosso and Danny Ratliff. I've been working. I got to work on that impression.
Yeah, you're going to have to give that a little bit of...
I'm going to have to give that a little work. Hey, welcome to the Friday edition, Financial Fitness Friday. Lots to talk about today. Hope you're all doing well. Shaping up to be a nice weekend. Sun will be out later today, so it doesn't feel so much like Seattle around here. Good gosh.
Did you go hop in a tanning bed this week?
Nah.
Isn't that what you have to do up there?
Yeah.
You have to do something up there.
Tanning business is real big in Seattle.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Huh.
I don't know if I believe you, but
it's what Sebastian says.
Okay.
The tanning business. No. Okay. We're not going to do that all day.
Yeah, please. Let's not.
I mean, I'm just finding out that Days of Our Lives was still on television since 1965. I mean,
not
come on.
Not for long.
Well, think about that crew. How bad do you have to feel that you've been on air since 1960-something, and you're the crew that got them off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you should feel pretty bad about yourself.
The sands of the hourglass have finally run out.
What, were they all in a nursing home? Or, I guess it's a whole, they revisit the storyline with all different people. And it's been, don't ask me how I know this, because you know how your head is filled with all kinds of stupid nonsense? That Luke and Laura got married 38 years ago yesterday.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Were you at the wedding at General Hospital?
I was
wedding?
Not. No.
Oh, my gosh. That's... I had somebody going yesterday. I said, isn't Ryan's Hope still on TV? Like, what?
We know what he used to do is his lunch hour in the 80s, right?
I hope not.
No, my great-grandmother used to watch me.
Yeah.
You know, in the 60s, 70s. Yeah. And that's my stories. Don't get in the way of Nana's stories, yeah. Because the forget it. Supposedly, that is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, daytime TV, I'd rather poke my eyes out.
Oh.
But it's horrible. Yeah. But, you know, the stories are still going.
Oh, I thought it was all Maury and Jerry.
I mean, I know, but there are still the stories, though. But Nana, don't get in the way of ABC and their stories.
Wow.
That was a big thing. Well, speaking of stories, which is the stock market, is one big story. It really is. Do you know that most stock prices are driven by story? Great new book by Bob Shiller called Narrative Economics. As we talk about economics being animal spirits and a lot of things you can't measure, or at least we can't measure well, right? How people feel about things, the economy, right? I feel confident. Maybe I spend more. The market's up. Maybe I spend more. My house is going up in value, maybe I spend more. It comes all down to me. Am I spending more? Because that's really what drives the economy, right?
And we're about to find out here in just a bit with retail sales this morning.
Yeah, and Walmart came out yesterday. So they had pretty good sales growth, 3.2% increase in comparable sales for the recent quarter. And again, I think Walmart is a pretty decent barometer for the general public. And Walmart's... I'm afraid of Walmart. I won't go in there. However, they have done a really good job of competing with Amazon for the online. When they first bought Jet.com, and Jet's still out there, which allows you to buy household goods and put them in your bin. Sort of cool. Like you buy your Tide Pods, and as you're loading it, like someone else, Danny sees that Danny buys Tide Pods, and then Brent buys Tide Pods, and in your cart, the price starts to go down because more people are buying Tide Pods. Who knows? Could be a whole farce, but it worked, right? So the CEO of Walmart goes, heck, we got to compete against Amazon, right? We got these mammoth stores, buys Jet. And I realized at that point, this guy knows what he's doing. So they have really done a really decent job of maintaining brick and mortar. Target as well, but compared to a lot of other stores, right, that are... You know, Chapter 11, Barney's in New York, which was an institution for clothing,
yep.
High-end clothing. That's Chapter 11, and pretty much that's gone. So, again, tough terrain competing for the consumer, and Walmart's done a good job. So Walmart has some pretty good sales yesterday.
It's pretty interesting because I remember when Jet was acquired by Walmart, and it felt kind of like a Hail Mary, right? It's like just they're doing anything they could to compete. It was a last-ditch effort to compete with Amazon, and yet it's turned out much better than many expected.
Well, it used to, because I used to go, I never really used it, but I tried the cart because I wanted to see how people were telling me how it worked. And I said, this is, why doesn't Walmart do this? I didn't realize they'd buy it. So again, they had good traffic in the stores, and that usually shapes up your holiday season. And then Target, Amazon, all in unison sort of went up. So yeah, today, to your point, will be important to see what goes on as far as the consumer. Dow points are up, I guess, 87 or so.
You know, but I think that's all really based back on this China-U.S. narrative around trade. It's not kind of factoring in, you know, the Walmarts, the retail sales, some of the other economic data that we've just received. But yet the narrative, once again, has been taken by the U.S.-China trade deal. And it's interesting because this happened last week. And, you know, we had a deal Thursday. Then Trump comes out and says, well, we don't have a deal. You know, this week we were talking, it's kind of funny, headlines like, China and U.S. are far apart on the trade deal due to a disconnect on tariffs. Well, really? What else are we talking about? So today, maybe we'll be up, maybe we'll be down. Who knows? Whatever. Who comes out? They may prance Larry Kudlow out here in a bit, and he may say, hey.
Well, it keeps, I mean, the narrative of this U.S.-China trade deal near, it's like that carrot. You know, what's that commercial, the insurance commercial? The guy's the fisherman, and he's got the dollar on the hook, and the woman's trying to grab it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on, grab the dollar. It's one of those insurance, but I mean, it's like that kind of thing. Like, you keep teasing us with this China trade deal being near, but yet it's not near enough. And then we get a tweet. So to your point, even though we might get somewhat decent numbers, and again, some of the numbers are misleading just because we're coming out of a trough of bad numbers, and those numbers are getting wiped away, so things look a little bit better. But again, the consumer allegedly has been the bright spot. We continue to spend. We saw that in the debt numbers, right? Although debt numbers have been higher for the consumer, we continue to be very healthy users of credit. And now that it's holiday season, I'm sure we'll be increasingly healthier users of credit. So again, to Danny's point, you could have a lot of good information and then some tweet comes out, or the trade deal's not anywhere near us, but then the next day it's near us. So, you know, you're going to get whipsawed a lot. And you're going to get whipsawed a lot next year as the political rhetoric really starts to build up. So you're going to need to buckle in next year and really understand who you are as an investor, your attitude about risk, and where does your portfolio stand? Have you done anything to rebalance? Good time to think about it, right, Danny?
Absolutely. So lots of good information. We're going to get into a little bit more here on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Real Investment Show on AM 700. We'll be right back.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available from Stitcher Smart Radio. Listen anyplace, anytime at Stitcher.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab. RIAAdvisors.com.
Welcome back to The Real Investment Show. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Rich Rosso for Financial Fitness Friday. It's 6:17 on Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a great start.
I'm going to question Brent's taste in music with this. What is this one?
This is Leo.
Oh, well, and you know what? Guess what the next one's going to be?
Push It?
Leo.
Leo.
Oh, Leo.
And the one after that?
Push It.
Leo.
Oh. Leo.
So
we have a guest appearance by Sebastian Gorka later today.
Now we're all going to have to. You know we're going to be doing this throughout the entire office today.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm working in the woodlands today. Don't have to hear y'all's mess.
We'll call you. We'll just call you, Dan.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah. Danny, hey, so, I've got an appointment for you.
Welcome to RIA.
Okay, so moving right along. So, you know, last segment talked briefly about some of the economic data that's coming out. Retail sales coming out here in just a bit. Likely to be okay, especially if we can base it off kind of the bellwether of what Walmart had. But, you know, one thing you did touch on, Rich, was that the debt, right? We have record levels of debt. So $14 trillion in debt now, which is much higher than the low and actually much higher than the high after 2008. So we've seen household debt tick up quite a bit. So $1.3 trillion higher, in fact, from over 2008. And so why these numbers are, I guess, alarming. And look, it's not that it's ticked up a bunch. It's ticked up, well, I take that back. Household debt's climbed 25% since post-recession lows. But if we look at it year over year or month over month, it hasn't grown all that substantially. We're looking like 0.3%. It's just there's so much of it. I mean, we've grown by $31 billion over this last year, or actually from the end of the second quarter.
And you got to remember, having lower rates has helped fuel this debt boom. And again, relatively speaking, I think consumers are in okay shape versus where they were pre-financial crisis, especially when you look at mortgage debt.
Mm-hmm.
But government debt, corporate debt, to your point, debt is our magic elixir around, not only around here, but just around the globe, that eventually there will be some repercussions to what we're seeing. We're seeing it already with interest rates.
We are.
Across the globe, where they can only go so far before you bust activity. Again, Lance was the leading edge on this premise years ago about, hey, listen, maybe debt is not going to, my mic is moving. Maybe debt isn't going to be that boom bust, but it's going to act like a lead balloon and lower growth rates. And as people get more adjusted to living or creating their wealth gap using debt as opposed to wages or their standard of living, right? We set a new benchmark for where interest rates should be, because we only will want mortgage rates that such and such. And again, a report came out yesterday about how many seniors, 80 years old plus, have debt, especially mortgage debt. So we're seeing debt across every generation. It's not just like the baby boomers going, you guys, you young people, well, you're taking on all the debt. Well, no. Yeah. No. The older baby boomers are also embracing it. So it's spreading like a wildfire.
Well, it's cheap money. And if you're not getting paid for funds somewhere and you can get it for next to nothing, why wouldn't you take on the debt? And I certainly understand and appreciate the sentiment behind that. But on the flip side, you know, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul in some instances here. And we are pulling those future returns or future assets to right now, because you're racking up debt. And like we've talked about frequently, that people don't buy the overall price, they buy the payment. And that's
absolutely
the big issue.
True. We buy payments, which is not a really good way of looking at anything.
No, not at all.
We've got the cumulative interest rate we pay, the debt we pay, where the money could have gone. So, and I hear people talk, I'm sure you do, Danny, all the time. Maybe a lot of the clients and people who listen to this show aren't in this group, but how many of us, what rate can I afford? What monthly payment can I afford? They don't look at all the other details. That's why, where do you see the duration of auto loans today?
Oh, you see them going out to 10 years. I mean, it's astronomical. But in many instances, it has to, because the price of a vehicle has gone up so
absolutely
much.
Absolutely. You know, something's got to give.
One of the things that really gives me heartburn, though, we talk about these low rates, yet these banks and finance companies have done a really good job of kind of squashing the noise around credit card debt. You know, credit cards recently hit 17%. That's the highest they've been in 25 years. And yet we're sitting here with doldrum growth. We've got 2% GDP, if that. Well, we come at 1.9 now, projections are 1.3, 1.4 for fourth quarter. And yet they're still being able to charge a pretty hefty penny for you to borrow on a credit card.
And if you look at what people are spending on, And again, I think the numbers are sort of skewed because I don't know about you, Danny, but I use credit cards for everything and then pay them off because I want the points and I want the, you know, I want the cash back. So I'm going to, but I know there are a lot of people who are fiscally responsible and do that. So that might skew it because at the end of the year, when your credit card statement, you get really cool, a statement as far as the categories, how you've spent. But if you can use credit cards to your advantage, and we talk about this all the time, if you're good with credit, you certainly can. But most people are not, right? They're using it to buy necessities to maintain a standard of living. And that's not really what credit cards were designed to do. And then they're getting hit, obviously, with these onerous rates that continue.
You know, Rich, I think what happens is that, you know, everybody has the best of intentions. Oh, I'm going to use this credit card. I'm going to get all these rewards, these points. It's going to be great. And I'm going to pay it off every single month.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, life happens. Something gets in the way. And they don't make that payment because they don't have that emergency funds and savings. So where are you going to go? You're going to go to your savings account. You're going to go to your credit card. Unfortunately, many people go to that credit card. They don't pay it back off. And then these rates start really racking up quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when you get in that vicious cycle of the credit card rates that is so difficult to get out of. I mean, if you amortize some of these credit cards, especially if you make the minimum payments, which I know there are people out there doing that.
Yes.
You could pay these things off for 200 years. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it is a very, very long time, and yes, it can be so detrimental to your overall financial health.
It absolutely can be. And if you have an emergency reserve, you're in command because, say you even want to use a credit card, say an emergency does come up, and you go, oh, gosh darn, I'm going to spend $1,000 on my car. Look at you with your car, right? Your car's like a mortgage payment now with all the stuff you're putting into it, right? But you have the emergency reserve. But you can also say, hey, I'm gonna take advantage of putting it on my credit card, getting the cash back. Now when my bill comes in, I'm gonna deplete a bit of my savings, pay it off, right? People don't think about how money is fungible, right? Because they go, well, I don't want to touch my savings account. Well, my savings account's making 1 point. If you're lucky, if you're with an online bank, maybe you're making 1.7%, 1.8%. But most of us are sitting in a
big bank and earning 0.01 or 0.10.
But I'm going to pay 26% on my credit card, and I'm okay with that and making a minimum payment because I don't want my liquidity to diminish. But you got to understand is where are you getting the bang for your buck? So you got to look at this holistically when you use credit. But to your point, this credit situation is it's systemic, it's structural, it's not going to change.
And that's
unfortunately, it's just not. So,
well, Rich, I tend to disagree in some instances. Because I do think this can change. I mean, everybody has the opportunity, but you've got to make a little bit of sacrifice. And I know that's a word that nobody wants to hear, nobody wants to talk about, but a little bit of, you know, personal responsibility goes a long way.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't take long. As a matter of fact, when you start utilizing and putting these traits to work, I mean, we talk frequently on how many times we need a degree in psychology more than you do in finance and business, right? Mm-hmm. Because the overall, a lot of underlying factors, you know, they're self-made. So we have a lot of self-inflicted problems in the sense of how we spend money. We want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to continue to go down this track of, the appearance that many people withhold. And unfortunately, you know, that's fleeting, right? And so you continue to rack up debt because you have to get the next thing. And if you make these sacrifices, and I'm going to get off my soapbox in a minute, Rich. but it is. I mean, this is an issue, and this is something that is controllable. You just have to have a little bit of self-control.
You have to first, you have to be an example for your children,
yep,
right? Because your children watch your relationship with debt and money, and they go one direction or another. Like my parents, horrible with money. My father spent every dollar he had, okay? I totally couldn't handle that. And I went the other direction, right? You have to know that your kids are looking at it and are going to take examples from you, good or bad, when it comes to your need for it, what we call immediate gratification, which is what we seem to be all about. We got to have everything now versus saving for it, waiting for it. Or, hey, maybe I can't afford this big house. I put something on Facebook yesterday about mortgage rates, and I had some friends post that I know for a long time. I was very impressed with some of their financial skills because my friend Stephanie goes, well, my mortgage payment is like 9% of my gross income, because we talk about how much of your money goes toward rent and or mortgage.
Well, that's very impressive. She knew that.
28 to 38%. Well, she looked it in and went back and figured it out. And I said, well, that's great, because if I had a guardrail or a guideline, I would say 6 to 15% is where I would think you'd have a lot of financial breathing room to save, save for emergencies, right? Financial flexibility and that distress that you can relieve by lowering fixed expenses. And we're gonna play some cuts from Gary Collins coming up, which is, he's the man on living the simple life and cutting expenses. But my mortgage payment as a percentage of my income is 6, 5.5.
Yeah.
you see more and more people that are just saddled by mortgage payment. And right. they don't have flexibility.
Well, yeah, you have many people who are house poor. You know, that financial awareness, just to know those things, I think gives you, you know, it gives you some of that confidence to know that, okay, here's where I am, here's where I'm going.
Yep.
But it also gives you that peace of mind in the sense that you know exactly what you need in your savings. You know where your emergency funds need to lie because you know what your non-discretionary expenses are. So when you can break things down like that, I mean, that's got to make you feel pretty darn good.
I'm telling you, if you can tell your children or help your children understand is you can't have this doll now. You can't have this yet, or how are we going to get to this goal of purchasing this iPod? Believe me, they will work with that. They will understand that waiting is better than the immediate gratification, and their finances will see the benefit of it, and you would have done a great job.
That's exactly right. One thing that you know that I think that we can't stress enough is the communication aspect of that. You've got to communicate. Many families want to, but unfortunately, we just don't do a good enough job. Make that time to spend with your family. I think it'll pay off in droves. So you are listening to The Real Investment Show, Financial Fitness Friday. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for the Real Investment Report now at realinvestmentadvice.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlock, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab. RIAAdvisors.com.
And welcome back to The Real Investment Show. I'm Rich Rosso, Certified Financial Planner, here with Danny Ratliff, also Certified Financial Planner. My friend Gary Collins, if you go to thesimplelife.com, this is a man who walks his talk. His latest book, The Guide to Financial Freedom, is incredibly impressive. In this book, Dan, he talks about the true cost of owning a home and how you never make money on when you sell your home if you look at it appropriately. And what he does is he incorporates the interest, even though the interest rates are low historically, how much interest you're paying on the debt before you move. In other words, on average, people stay in their homes 7 years. And a lot of the debt tends to get front-loaded. So the first 6-7 years, all you've done
is pay interest. Yep.
You don't really start to get ahead until maybe about year 10. So he really does take this really holistic view of how you should calculate the true cost of owning your home. Because he's got some stuff in this book. And it's simple math, by the way. This is not rocket science. On what you should look at as far as opportunity cost, interest rate versus renting, where the money could, I mean, the way he looks at it is great. So if you get a chance to pick up this book, but we had a chance to interview him recently about his guide to financial freedom. Gary's done what most of us have fantasized about, at least me, chucking it all, moving out into the middle of nowhere. And he is in the middle. He's got a beard now. He looks like, Grizzly Adams now. So Gary's philosophy is based on this three-legged stool.
Optimal health, financial freedom, being debt-free, and also finding your life purpose. I dabbled in writing in my decluttering book, which was kind of setting this book up about your finances. So I was kind of setting people up for the next step. I grew up poor. I didn't have a lot of money. I had a job at 13. I had to learn to budget very early on. I paid for college on my own. First kid to go to college. No one was guiding me. I had to figure this stuff out. And I was good with money to a point. And then I kind of got sucked up by the system as well. Near the end of my government career, I was full-blown consumer. I mean, I was a crack addict if there was one. And I kind of, it hit me. It took the housing bubble to burst to kind of reopen my eyes and say, what are you doing?
It's, you know, a couple of things that come out, you know, really stand out to me about this. Having the job at 13, because I know you probably had a job, gosh, young. I did too. And I first started to keep my budget on a piece of paper with a pencil. Even at 12, 13, I found some of these old budgets I used to run because when I had one of the biggest paper routes in Brooklyn. So I had to go every Friday, Saturday. I don't wonder if you had to still do this years ago, but I had to go and collect. I got to knock on people's doors and go, Mr. Jones, $3.50 for the Daily News this week, right? And, you know, you had to, you sort of almost had to sell the paper all over again every week to do that. And, you know, had to figure stuff out. We used to have people from the bank that would come to the school every Wednesday, elementary school, and collect on your passbook savings and stamp it. Gosh, I feel like I'm like
deposit
100.
Books. No,
yeah,
we did
but
that. I mean, when I was
do you guys
young.
Have that? Oh, they don't yeah. do that anymore, do they?
No.
I mean,
no way. I mean,
we have lost this basic stuff.
Well, the rules and regulations wouldn't allow them to carry money back and forth, even if it were a dollar or two.
I mean, but come on. So optimal health, that's going to be something that we're going to talk about, especially next year, our health yep. wealth series, right? Financial freedom, which includes being debt-free. I met with a wonderful couple yesterday that they have a respectable amount of savings, but, you know, not going to be like, oh, my gosh, millions of dollars. But they have done such a great job being debt-free. And also finding your life purpose. What do you enjoy doing that also benefits you, not just financially? And Gary has done this. And don't be misled. You know, Gary's books aren't for those people who want to disappear. Because as I started reading a lot of his books, I'm like, whoa. Because he disappeared. He shows what you have to do to sort of disappear. And I'm like, I want to live out there with not many people. But I don't want to totally disappear. And it's not for minimalists who want to haul in their own water and just hide.
If you want to live that way, that's totally fine. But I run a business. I want creature comforts. They're there. The technology's there. So why would I make myself suffer if I don't have to unnecessarily? And what I wanted to point to people is our financial system is set up, our financial institutions, and the way our government works and the way consumerism works, we are truly the only nation in the world that's economy is based primarily on consumerism. Every financial show you listen to, every financial magazine you read, it's all about the consumer index. That's all they ever talk about.
Global growth.
Because without us consuming things we do not need, our economy would start to fold. Not fold and crumble. People get this misinterpretation because we're told this. We're fed this line of BS.
If you don't keep buying, we're gonna sink.
Yeah, we're gonna sink. So the consumer is the cash cow. No, the economy would change into a production economy, which it should be, instead of a consumer economy.
I mean, that is, we're sort of on this hamster wheel, right? Why do people, in many cases, don't make these big life changes? Well, think about what we did, Danny, like when we left corporate America and we wanted to come and really do our life's work as fiduciaries, right?
Yeah.
You sort of like, you cannot be maxing out credit cards, having the biggest mortgage. That's what ropes you in and you can't get out. The financial freedom also comes with, can I make a life choice and make a change that's going to make me very happy and healthier and not destroy me and letting people get trapped? And I think it's this consumerism, this system that people get wrapped into. And Gary has just found a way to say, you know what? It took a big issue for him to lose a lot of stuff during the crisis. And unfortunately, that's when people have a revelation, right? Something cataclysmic happens that you know, it's like a movie. Something bad happens. We call it the inciting event that changes the scope of the character. Well, why can't you do that before something bad happens? So he really lays it out really well here, I think.
Well, I think that's a lot to do with the financial preparation, right? I mean, you talk about leaving corporate America, and you know, I can remember the stress that was involved with, you know, with working for a big organization and the different goals and quotas and things they want you to accomplish, and the meeting after meeting. You know, you have a meeting to have another meeting, and then you think, when the heck am I supposed to do my work, what I do and what I enjoy? And it gets in the way, and I'm sure a lot of you guys out there driving the car probably feel that way right now. But by doing some of the things and maybe getting away from the consumerism, the materialistic items. And look, I mean, I like nice stuff just as much as a nice guy. And I know I get on air and talk about things. But you've got it. There's a price attached to everything you do. And it's not just the price you paid now. It's going to be the price you pay later, because you don't have that opportunity cost in your pocket, right? And it's, if you continue to go down that path, you're not going to have the opportunity to jump off to start the business you've always wanted, or to work in your life's work to find that freedom. And unfortunately, many people will never find that, because we get caught up in this hamster wheel of exactly what Gary was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's difficult in life, because you know, you just feel like you're doing just enough to get by.
I think we have pacified ourselves with stuff, because we may not be happy. If you look at statistics on how many people are really happy in their careers or their work, it's rare. I mean, even in the United States, okay, that people are not very happy where they are. And I was king of the Monday morning meeting eye roll, okay, where I was before. Like, why is this even necessary, okay? So there was a point that I just couldn't take it anymore. So... but at least I had the financial flexibility to do it. So that's what you need to understand is, what do you really want? And to your point, everything you buy, there's not just a financial price to it. There's an emotional price to it. There's some linkage to this product or service that's bigger than the money that you're paying into it. And that's why you have to look at purchases that way. One of the most shocking, and we brought this up a little bit, counterintuitive sections in Gary's book, his latest book, and again, it's called The Guide to Financial Freedom. It's about home and auto loans and the revelation that owning a home does not help you build wealth. Now, I don't want my 10 billion realtor friends to yell at me here, okay? For those who do stay in the same place over the 30 years it takes to pay off a typical mortgage, most only break even, barely.
That's why a 30-year mortgage is done that way. And understanding basic principles of interest, people don't even understand the difference between simple and compound interest. They don't understand how their interest is tabulated. On credit card, the worst are credit cards
credit
and
card,
home.
The worst.
Those are where people are sucked in. Car loans are not too bad.
It's
but
worse.
People buy far more car than they need.
Yep.
They need a $10,000 car. They buy a $70,000 car, and they're making 15 bucks an hour. I've seen people do that. So when I was young, I made a lot of mistakes. I don't make those mistakes anymore. But the cars is where I give people leniency. I'm all, well, just make sure you buy the right car. If you buy the right car and you have to finance it, don't do a 7-year loan. Do a 4 or 5-year loan, and that's it.
I mean, this is not, again, rocket science. I mean, there are a lot of cars I'd like to buy out there that are $50,000, $100,000. I'm not going to do it.
Well, it's to get to point A to point B, right?
That's what Gary says in the book. It's a method of transportation. Listen, this is a podcast that's available on every place you can get your podcast. Very interesting. And the book is The Guide to Financial Freedom, thesimplelife.com. Gary Collins, MS, good friend. My little Grizzly Adams, the man I want to be. Hey, you've been listening here to The Real Investment Show on 700 KSDV, The Voice of Texas. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available on iTunes.
Listen anyplace, anytime
at iTunes.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlock, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
Let's go!
And welcome back to the last segment of the Real Investment Show. I'm Rich Rosso here with Danny Ratliff, Mr. Clanton, pressing all his buttons and making things happen. And we're done with our lunch and learns for this year. Next year, we have an exciting, really, I think, pretty cool list and foray of wonderful topics. I mean, Medicare, Social Security, long-term care. There's so many. I mean, we focus on all these topics, financial planning rules, investment rules. Especially, I think, next year, we're going to need some of these to maybe make appearances where they shouldn't be, only because of the volatility we might see next year. So we have great success with our lunch and learns. Danny will eventually be doing those out in the Woodlands, but we do our retirement right lane class. Those also will be coming up on first Saturdays every month around town, and those are our two-hour classes, and we cover pretty much soup to nuts what you need to do to prepare for retirement and make sure you're not blindsided.
Yeah, lots of good information there. But, that's one place that you can go is realinvestmentadvice.com. Mm-hmm. Go to the events tab. Check out what we have going on. It's going to look a little light just because the holidays are coming up. We tend to take some time off of the agenda there as far as the educational seminars and workshops. So we will start back up in January with, like I said, lots of really good topics and timely things. So if you have suggestions, things you guys want to hear about, maybe something you want us to talk about on the show, don't hesitate to go to Real Investment Advice and ask a question. We'd love to help you guys out, either answer you directly or answer you here on air.
I'm really disappointed that you kiboshed our December lunch and learn idea, how to build a gingerbread house.
Hey, man.
And then you can eat it after you're done.
My kids can teach it. I mean,
free refreshments.
He just wants the eggnog. What are you talking about?
Like a gingerbread man and a gingerbread house building kind of lunch and learn.
Rich would be having how to make candy canes. How do you decorate your house? Uh-huh. What else would you do? Let's see.
How to really front load your eggnog with
that's not very hard
rum
to do.
And other good stuff. Yes,
so you're a rum guy in the eggnog?
It's eggnog season, yes.
Rich could do a whole course on kitchen chemistry.
Oh, yeah, around holiday time. Mulled wine, that's another great one. I should bring some in for everybody. Not during the show because...
Yeah, it'd be pretty entertaining.
You know, we never know what'll go out over the air.
Wound up sounding like Sebastian Gorka.
One of these days, I'm going to get him to do the whole show in that character.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
You would do that too. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen the unicorn puppy, but the abandoned puppy who was born with the extra tail on his forehead. Have you seen that, Brent? It doesn't wag or anything, but this is the cutest, oddest thing I've really ever seen. But
this unicorn puppy.
Yeah, this is a Missouri group that has now taken in the puppy and has a congenital defect. Dogs can get this. They can get cleft. Extra toes, cleft palates, but he's got this little tail coming out of his forehead. So he's being known as the unicorn pup.
Overall. They're going to probably find a way to breed him here before you know it.
I think most...
I got nothing. It's like, really?
They might want to use it for all the Medicare Advantage commercials.
Yeah.
Because... while other people are watching all their wonderful shows, I'm looking at, wow, that was a pretty good Medicare commercial. Wow, that one would really convince me. Because I'm going to get a free Fitbit. you got to be really, really careful, even though this is Medicare enrollment season, because of the stuff that they're giving away. And you got to really look at the benefits.
You know the dog commercials where they've got the talking dogs and make their mouths and lips move?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they could do that commercial in the voice of Sebastian Gorka as the dog.
We're never going to let this go. Sebastian Gorka, by the way, is also... It's a long story. Just look him up.
I can't believe he's doing those.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Come on, guy. Where's your pride?
We were thinking of having him cut a right lane class.
I think it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want to be blindsided in retirement? You must come to the right lane class held by RIA or you will die.
So so Medicare premium increases, back on a serious note. So we talk about the base premiums for Medicare Part B. We've been talking about that it's going to go up next year to $144.60. That's up from $135.50. So that's a $9 hike overall. Now, Part B also has a deductible. When you buy Medigap, which is what we recommend, which is supplemental coverage, because keep in mind, when you look at Medicare, unless you're buying Medicare Advantage, but there are a whole bunch of issues there. We write a lot about Medicare Advantage. When you buy Medicare, when you got A and B, you are getting Swiss cheese. You need other insurance to fill the holes. It used to be that the annual deductible for Medicare Part B was covered with F, the Medigap policy. Now you will have to pay that Medicare Part B.
Yeah, with Part G, because F's going away. But you know, even that is—it's not—that's not astronomical. It's $185. I mean, that's going to be the biggest difference.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. But again, we have to keep in mind that there's going to be different changes for all these different things. We're going to be looking at six income tiers for high income surcharges for Part B and Part D. People don't realize that there's something called a base premium for Medicare, like the $135 or now the $144.60 next year.
Yep.
But that can change. Right,
well, I think,
Danny?
That's what blindsides so many people is that you get in here and you say, okay, hey, this is what my Medicare premiums are. But then all of a sudden you get a knock on the door or a note and says, hey, by the way, you had some IRMA charges, right? And so essentially what that is, it's a surcharge for making too much money. So currently this year, it's if you make $85,000 as an individual, you know, with income or over $170,000, it's going to go up to $174,000, then $87,000 for an individual. So those numbers, and basically what this means to you is that if you have more income than that, then you will be assessed an additional charge for your Medicare. And that's going to go anywhere from $220.40 per month all the way up to $491.60. So why that's important is because that's not just for you. Now, if you're married, that's for you and your spouse. So, you know, our job, which I tell people frequently, is not just the wealth management, the risk management, capital appreciation. It's also finding ways to keep more money in your pocket. And this is why we stress so frequently, you know, having flexibility in retirement, not just having funds in traditional IRAs or your 401k, putting funds in other avenues that you can take out tax-free or that are going to limit the income tax consequences, because all these things add up over time. And that, this can be, you know, quite a bit, especially if you get to that 491 mark.
Now, a lot of people tell me, well, I'm not going to hit that first tier, right? So if I'm an individual and I'm going to make more than $87,000, you know, I'm going to have, I might, these tiers that I'm looking at based on my income, people say, well, I'm never going to hit that. I'm not, I'm just not.
Well,
and I get it. There are going to be a lot of people, their IRMA surcharges, that they're not going to hit these tiers and they're not going to get additional costs onto the 144.60.
But Rich,
so
you, but you know typically how this happens, right? Maybe that you're not going to take this on a regular basis, but maybe you have to take more money out of something. Maybe you have a family member that needs help or you have an emergency.
Uh-huh.
And now you need to take these funds out.
What are you saying, Danny? It's not just what I earn. It's what I take out of my IRAs, right? My
absolutely.
Tax deferred account. So,
so it's going to include your Social Security. It's going to include any different types of income that you have. So you may say, hey, we have to meet this emergency need. And it's more than I don't want to take these funds out of my savings account. So you pull it from your 401k, your IRA, these taxable accounts. And essentially what happens is it's going to bump you up over that $85,000 or $87,000 mark for this next year. Or if you're a couple, 170 to 174, it is increasing. And why this is important is because this is going to impact your Medicare. And what happens is they look back from a two-year time frame. Now, you do have the ability to go in and actually appeal it depending on what type of circumstances it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're just taking money out to take money out, they don't care if you're giving it to Uncle Joe because he needs an additional funds and mm-hmm. you know, he's about to go bankrupt. It doesn't matter where those funds go in that instance. So we have to be very careful surrounding that.
Because people believe, and it's and again, we don't talk about it a lot. We do, but a lot of advisors don't, that if there is a need and life gets in the way and all my money, because we're told in the financial industry is place it in your tax-deferred accounts. If all my money's in there and I take enough money out, I'm going to trigger a repercussion of other charges that I am not aware of possibly, and that includes a higher bill for my Medicare premiums. So it's very, very important to diversify your accounts. In other words, think about it. If you lived on a farm and you only had one cow to go to for milk, maybe I want three. Maybe I want my tax-deferred cow. Maybe I want my brokerage or taxable cow. And I want my Roth cow where I can blend. Wouldn't it be nice if I had a cow that made chocolate milk, one that made strawberry? And okay, that's a whole other thing I got to think about next week. But the point is, we will help you look at those Medicare decisions. I helped somebody yesterday to help get through the maze of Medicare, so just reach out to us.
That's right.
We are happy to sort of make sense of it all.
And I know there's a lot of people right now who aren't on Medicare, and you're thinking, this doesn't pertain to me, but it does, because right now is the time that you need to be thinking about how you can prepare for this. But when you do get to 65, you have that flexibility. So, hey, thank you guys for joining us today. You've listened to The Real Investment Show, Financial Fitness Friday edition with Rich Rosso, Danny Ratliff. Lance will be back on Monday. Y'all have a great weekend.
It's a rich man's world.